Evening, everyone, and thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor, for allowing us to come on short notice. We are back on furlough. Actually, we're supposed to be back in Thailand right now, as of the end of May, and then, you know, things have gone over the last couple of months that got shut down, and we're not able to return to the field. And so, a lot of our supporting churches have given us short notice meetings, and I don't know. The whole COVID thing has been very difficult in many ways, but in many ways, God has turned that difficult thing to a blessing for us, for our family. And in Thailand, things are going great without us. So I guess that's good or bad, depending on how you look at it. So I am back today to say thank you. You all have supported us for a long time. And we are finishing up, I guess it would be our fourth term. You've been supporting us since we were on deputation in 2003. And so we are back, and so just to review, again, my name is Mike Lehman. I think Pastor mentioned that. This is my wife over here, honey, if you could just maybe wave your hand. This is my wife, Panan. A lot of people ask us now, is Panan Thai? She was born in Thailand, so yes, I guess you would say she's Thai. She came to the States when she was young, and just as a small child, and had a stepfather that was in the United States Air Force. And so she grew up in the States. And no one ever thought she'd go back to Thailand. And so the culture of the Thai culture, the language, everything sort of little by little left her. And so when God let us go back to Thailand, or let her go back to Thailand as missionaries, she had to go back and learn the language, go to language school. And we thought it'd be a great help, and there would be some open doors. It ended up, it was actually something that would cause a little extra difficulty. But nevertheless, it's given us some open doors, and it's been difficult in some situations as well. So we are back here, and I have some good news. So let me just say this again. We are church planting missionaries. What does that mean? You know, there are all sorts of missionaries out there these days. What's a church planting missionary? A church planting missionary is a missionary that goes to a certain area. For us, it's in Thailand. We find an area. We find an area where there's people that where there's people and there's no real gospel witness, where there's few, if any, Christians. And so we set up there, and we get busy, we preach, and we look for an outreach ministry, an opportunity. And when people get saved, we baptize them. And after they've been baptized, we disciple them, and we teach them all things that He's commanded us. And then we form that into an independent Baptist church. You know, in Thailand, that's really a hard thing to do. Thailand is 99%+ Buddhist. It's not a church-going nation. Average person, if you were to go up to someone in Thailand and want to share the gospel with them, they'd ask you why. They already have a religion. And so it is a difficult thing to do in Thailand, but God has given us some great opportunities. And the location we picked when we first got to Thailand was the location called Siracha. That's been in our prayer letters. I trust you've had a chance to pray with us as we were working there in Siracha, Thailand. It's a port city about an hour east of Bangkok. And so we got going there, and, you know, it was a long road. We'd come back after our first term, and we're thinking, wow, this is really hard. And then the second term, we go back, and we see some more people saved. And it was about the third term that God really opened the door, and we saw a good number. It's not like maybe some areas of the world, it's not big numbers, but we saw a good number of people saved. And then it was during this last term now then that we're able to officially organize and commission the Siracha Baptist Church, where we turned it over to the Thai people. It's run by them. They do the work of the ministry, and financially, the missionary, we ourselves don't have to put anything into it. They're taking care of it all through their own tithes and offerings. And we're really excited. It's a great church. You would love it. And that's what you sent us there to do. Amen? Amen. I can tell you, I can send our brothers and sisters at that church in Thailand would want to say to you, thank you. Thank you for having a part in supporting us and supporting them. And it's exciting. I wish we could do more than just show you a video, but that's what I have for now. And so that church is established, and I told the church here this last year that as missionaries, we're going to want to get going and start looking for another area to go and start another work. And so if you were to look, let's see, if we were to put a map of Thailand right here, China's over this way, India's over here, and then here's Bangkok right in the middle at the bottom of Thailand, right? And it's on the Gulf of Thailand. Siracha's over on the right side, and that's a port city of about 200,000 people. You may have heard of Siracha sauce. Yes, that's the city. It's that Sriracha. Yes. And so that's the one that has the Sriracha Baptist Church. It's doing great. Praise the Lord. And so right now we're working on a new city, in a new city. It's a smaller city, about 20,000 people. And when we started there, that was the family you saw in the video. We said we started as a house church with just one family. When we started, there's no other churches in that city. And within this last year now, we started going there part-time. Another two churches have showed up. And so I trust God's getting ready to do something there. It's a dark place, and there's many people there who have never heard the gospel. And so it's a great opportunity. We need to pray with us about that, though. The city is called Cha'am. Cha'am. Two syllables. Cha'am. Can you say that? Pretty good. We are getting ready to start a new church. Now, when I told the church in Thailand, I said, we're going to have to get going and start looking at doing another work. You know, we had taught them missions. They do Faith Promise there themselves, and they support missionaries. And so they wanted to get in on that, too. And they support the work there financially. And every weekend, just about every weekend, someone from Sriracha Baptist Church will make the trip over to Cha'am to help in the services there on a Sunday. And so that's really exciting. It's not a big, Sriracha is not a big church, but they love the Lord. And they want to be part of what God is doing there in their own country. And so pray for us. That's a new location. We'll be starting the city of Cha'am. We have about, it's a house church right now, and we have about 12 people that meet there on a Sunday, on any given Sunday, about that. And so, yeah, it's a start. And we have a vision. We're praying that God would use us to take the gospel to many, many people in that city who've never heard it. And for sure, there's people in that city of Cha'am who are waiting and need to hear. And it's just a matter of looking for the open doors and letting the Holy Spirit lead. So thank you again for supporting us, Pastor. Thank you again for allowing us to come back. It's so much, you know, I could tell you about that. I hopefully you can just see some of these things in our prayer letters and catch a little bit of that on the video as well. I want to share something with you tonight that I think this is something that's helped me and my wife as missionaries. You know, staying on a mission field is hard. Every time I come back to America, I love coming back to the United States. If I had to pick anywhere in the world to live, it would be the United States of America. You have the best country in the world. I really believe that. And you know, I lost my train of thought there. Sorry. When you're on the field, you know, there's a lot of challenges. There's spiritual darkness. You encounter maybe everyday trials and troubles that you would have here in the United States. But I think because of the location, it multiplies or magnifies it. Being away from home, being away from your family, it seems that, to me, watching missionaries on the field, a lot of missionaries come off the field maybe when the kids have grown and they're going off to college. It's really, really hard. Thailand, if you look at the globe, Thailand, America's right here. Thailand's the exact opposite side of the world. And so there's your family, and it's of course, your parents are getting older, and all these things are real challenges. And I don't know how anybody does it, to be honest, other than the Holy Spirit keeps them going. Amen. But I'm serious. When I hear missionaries come up to me, I'll say, oh, yeah, well, I sort of understand. It's really hard. I'm going to give you something from the Word of God, and this is in Psalm 103, if you want to turn there. Psalm 103. I'm going to give you something that's helped me and Panan, I would say, stay on the field and stay encouraged. This is Psalm 103. It's really been a life changer for us. And it changes everything. If you can catch what it is I'm going to share with you here briefly this evening. So I'm going to read just a couple of verses here. I often tell people I can't keep my train of thought because I have jet lag. But that left about 2 months ago, and so I can't really use that excuse tonight. So, Thailand, you know, right now it's 7:30 at night, is that right? Thailand, it's 7:30 in the morning. So, I don't know, the first people came through the door here at your church, I said good morning to. My brain still sometimes works in Thai time. All right, Psalm 103. I'm going to read the first couple of verses here. And then let that word prayer ask God to bless and give us something here to encourage us here in our own walk. You know, missionaries need to be encouraged and stay in the field. And church people here at your own, you need to be encouraged to stay on your field. Amen. And so I hope this will be helpful. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, God, for this church and for all those who have come tonight, all those who might be viewing tonight. We pray, Lord, as we meet together now, you'd meet with us. Take this portion of Scripture and encourage us and move us, Lord, we pray, to walk closer to you and be encouraged in our everyday life with you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, in this psalm, we find the psalmist speaking to himself. Amen? Is that what that says? He says, bless the Lord, O my soul. So he's telling his soul, am I getting that right? Okay. He's telling his soul what to do. He tells his soul to bless or be happy in the Lord. Now that soul is that part of you that it comprises your thoughts, your emotions, your feelings. It's the you. You've got a body, that's the physical part. And then you've got your spirit. There's the material and the immaterial. But then there's your soul. That's you. And so we find in this psalm, I thought it was very interesting, that the writer is speaking to himself. Is that strange? Do you speak to yourself? I think if you were out in public and you were speaking to yourself in front of others, that might be strange, maybe a little inconsiderate. You know, when we go through airports, I'm a fast walker and I often overtake people as I'm walking. Many times I'm overtaking somebody at the airport and they're speaking out loud and I'm thinking they're talking to themselves. They're a little bit weird. But then I find they're talking on one of those Bluetooth headsets on their phone, so whatever the case. It might be a little weird, but I would say that we should speak to our soul as to what our soul should think and do. We should maintain a state of soul that's in line with truth in relation to our relationship to the Lord. And I would bet that frequently we're not doing it. I know that it's changed everything for me in the way I view things. And me just being on the field. If you don't speak to your soul, let's just say you don't. You don't get it. You think it's weird. You just don't do it. If you don't tell your soul what its status should be, that would be like releasing it to its surroundings. Let me say, God never intended the state of your soul to depend on other people and how they treat you. God never intended the state of your soul to depend on the circumstances of what's going on around you. But that's how most people live their lives. And Christians ought not to be. We should have some spirit-led discipline in controlling our thoughts, our emotions, our feelings, our soul. We should speak to our soul. We should be telling it, not it telling us. You know, often our soul pipes up and says, I don't feel like it. I'm not in the mood. You know, if you don't, you're sort of like a ship without a rudder. Wherever the wind is blowing, wherever the current is flowing, that's where your little soul is going to be going. It ought not to be. If you don't, I can promise you the result of us not making a concentrated effort to maintain the state of our soul, it's stress. It's worry. It's doubting. It's aging, maybe pre-aging. It's sleeplessness. It's headaches. None of these things, that's not God's plan. Stress, worry, fear, this isn't the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So, you know, sometimes we feel sorry for ourselves. We do. Sometimes we feel sorry for ourselves and we might feel that we've earned the right to be moved by our fear and our sorrow and our worries and things. Maybe we just want others to feel bad for us. But that's not the path that God would lead us for certain. So let me ask you, what has your soul been doing? In the last week, what have you been doing for your soul? If some were to be honest, probably nothing. What I mean by that is no real concentrated effort, no real consciousness to what's going on in the soul. Suppose you had to give an account to God. What would you say? What have you done for your soul today? What have you been monitoring in your soul today? You are indeed the keeper of your soul. Obviously, the Holy Spirit has a hand in it, but the Holy Spirit's not going to force you to have a life of joy. He's not going to force you to depart from worry and fear and those things like that. Do you know Psalm 4, verse 23? Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Think of your soul. Keep your soul with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. As for the writer of this psalm, what does he want his soul to do? Remember, he was speaking to himself? Just briefly, in that first one there, what does he want his soul to do? Bless the Lord. He's telling his soul to be happy. He's telling it, hey soul, bless the Lord. Hey soul, be happy in the Lord. Hey soul, hey thoughts, hey emotions, hey feelings, let's do a check. Hey guys, bless the Lord. Hey soul, rejoice in the Lord. Thank the Lord. Be satisfied in the Lord. He's setting up the status of his soul. I do that in the morning. I have to do that in the morning. I may not be like you, but when I wake up in the morning, I feel awful. How many people feel great when they wake up in the morning? Really? Amen. Good. I feel awful. The first thing I start thinking about is all the things I don't want to do that day. To get out of bed, I have to take this one leg and move it off to the side, put the first foot on the ground, and then we'll get going from there. Then you walk to the bathroom. And then, you know what I've learned to do is I'm walking to the bathroom and I've learned to say, bless the Lord, oh my soul. I tell my soul that as I'm walking to the bathroom before I brush my teeth. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And it gets better after that. Things will get going. Because you're setting up the status of your soul. It's not a matter of, hey, how do you feel today? You know, why ask? I mean, not that we don't care. I heard one preacher, it must have been on a video or something recently, criticizing maybe some of the more contemporary churches. The worship leader come out and the first thing he says, hey, everybody, how do you feel today? And the guy would say, who cares how we feel today? It's not that we don't care. But we're the ones who are going to set up what the state of our soul is. You know, this is the state, what we're seeing in this psalm here, bless the Lord. This is the state of the soul that loves God. And it's the state of a soul of a Christian that loves God and is truly happy. It is the state or the status of a soul that we've got to maintain. Look at verse 1. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Here the writer is going to control all that's within, all that's going on, in blessing or being happy in the Lord. That is, in every situation, in every mood, in every feeling, with every thought, everything coming together, joining together to bless the Lord. All that's within me, no matter all that's outside of me. Listen to yourself sometimes, in the middle of a day, as you're going through the day. I can hear it. After I got a hold of this, and it became part of my life as it ought to be, I pay attention to what I say. I can hear it. And if you could just listen to you in your marriage, you know, a husband and wife that get a hold of this together, they can check each other. You can hear things in each other's voices. Just listen to yourself in the middle of a day. Okay, for an example, when something bad happens, how do you react? And let's just pretend you're doing something, you're hammering something, and you smash your thumb with the hammer. What do you say? What if you weren't a Christian? What would you say? Probably a four-letter word would come flying out. Am I right? And then you hear some Christians, where you won't use the hardcore cuss words, we'll use something a little soft, we'll say darn it or something like that. Why do we have to darn it? I mean, what if something like that were to happen? You smash your thumb, you're in pain, and you just say, bless the Lord. Praise the Lord. What if? I think it was last night, I saw an article that said, they claim that don't do this, but they claim that cussing takes away some of the effect of a pain and something like that. I totally disagree with that. Just try praising the Lord in everything. Just try it sometime. Next time, my wife and I, when we were really getting a hold of this, and it was really something that was affecting us, and God was really leading us in this way, we travel in a travel trailer. You know, travel trailers, it's like a little house on wheels, just very small. And we were somewhere, and it was a missions conference time, and it was in the fall, and in the Midwest, it's very windy, and we were parked somewhere in a forest, and we're the only ones there, and the trees are blowing. You can see them bending in the wind. It was just very, very violent kind of windstorm. And I think we were just getting up that morning. And we're like, ooh, listen to that. All of a sudden, kabam! I mean, it was like this tree just, portion of a tree just came falling and smashed into our trailer. Well, we were just talking about this kind of thing right here, my wife and I, as we were getting going. And she looked at me and she said, praise the Lord. And then I looked at her and said, okay, who's going to go out and see what happened? I mean, we were wondering, what in the world? Is the air conditioner still up there? What's going on? What hit? God got us through that, by the way. It was just this little tiny, tiny tear in the seam of the roof. I mean, it was a big bam, and you would think it would have been terrible, but God blessed us. But it was a lesson. It was one of those opportunities for us to check the status or the state of our soul. She says, bless the Lord. And I smiled and said, yeah, praise the Lord. You know, this isn't something new. You know the basis for this truth. How about Romans 8:28? Everybody knows that. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, and to them who are called according to His purpose. Now, not everything is working together for your good, for good in your life, if you don't love God. Would you agree? Okay, but let's just change that. We're not going to change anything. Pastor, I'm not changing anything. But just think the word bless instead of the word love there, okay? And we know that all things work together for good to them that bless the Lord. To them who are the called according to His purpose. You say, well, I don't always bless the Lord in my soul. Do you love God? Or are you a fair weather friend? Do you only bless the Lord when you got what you wanted? We say, I got what I wanted, bless the Lord. Is that what we are? We know that all things work together for good, so that in all things, then, we can indeed bless the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, what is God's will for your life, Christian? What does God want in your life? What is it? If we could just summarize, what is God's will for your life as a Christian? What is it? Do you know that? I'm sorry, 1 Thessalonians 5:18? In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That you would do what? Bless the Lord. In everything, give thanks. That's all God wants. That's all He wants. And so many times we as Christians, we just live our lives complaining, complaining, complaining. It's almost like we use God. Our prayer life becomes trying to get God to do this, trying to get God to do that. But really, our Christian's life should be spent praising the Lord, thanking the Lord. Maybe some requests on the side. We're like kids who want the cake as the main dish, and then we eat some dinner to go with it. All God wants is that we just bless Him, that we'd be happy in Him, and that we maintain that state of soul. So how do you do that? To wrap it up, how do you do that? Verse 2 is the method. And this is what I've learned. I've learned this in my life, and I've been practicing it. I can say with all assurance, it works. So verse 1, we see clearly the state of our soul should be that where we're going to bless the Lord. Verse 2 then gives us the method. He says it again, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Do you know, if you were to just spend time every day thinking through all those benefits that you have in Him. I mean, as a Christian, just, you know, I'm not talking about just the fact that you had safety and you have a car to drive and you have a home. I'm talking about my sins are forgiven. I mean, I'm clean. I am 100% forgiven. I'm a child of God. I'm no longer cursed. Now I'm blessed. What's blessed? Everything's blessed. Just think through these things. We are not good thinkers. I don't know if social media turned us into that or what. We're just not good thinking. I'm not very good at thinking. We're just not good at it. We just let it go. It's like we just lift the anchor and let the soul go. But if we were to make a concentrated effort all through the day, every day, to not forget his benefits, in other words, recall all the benefits that we have every day. Do you know you'll be the happiest person in this world? You know, let's look at some of the benefits here. Just listen to some of these here. He gives you, as by way of example, he really, Psalm 103 is a list of some of those benefits. Really, that's what it is. But just look at some of these. Look at verse 3. Number one, the first one, verse 3. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. I love the word all. Just meditate on it. Just think about it. Stop everything. Put your phone down. Don't check Facebook. Just think about it. Look at the next one. Who healeth all thy diseases. I like the word all there. That means it includes COVID. Amen. There's your COVID verse for the month. I'm not saying you're not going to get COVID, but I can promise you this. He's going to heal its effect in your life and that it will turn to some kind of blessing. COVID can't touch you. Look at verse 4. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. That was good for us here this morning. We were somewhere. Oh, we stopped at a truck. We slept at a truck stop last night because we have a travel trailer. We tend to do that. And I unplugged my trailer from my tow vehicle, thinking, well, I don't want to run the battery down tonight on my truck, and so I unplugged it. And we traveled 4 hours and went through the mountains and all. I forgot to plug it back in. No brake lights, no turn signals, no electric brakes on my tow vehicle. And when we got back, I said, hey, honey, praise the Lord, we got here safely. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? I can see that verse in my life all the time. I'm sort of accident prone. But I praise the Lord for that. There's so many things, so many benefits. Look at verse 4. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness? You know that it surrounds you like a crown. Your life, it's surrounded with his tender mercies and his loving kindness. Does that bless your soul? But sometimes we're so busy using our soul to do other things that we miss the meat. So, be happy in the Lord. Maintain a soul or a state of soul that's a soul of thanksgiving, rejoicing by doing what? Recalling in our tired, stress-filled mind all the things that God's doing in our life by meditating in God's goodness to us. You know, the Bible uses these words, magnify the Lord with thanksgiving. You know, if you had a magnifying glass, what would that do? Whatever you're looking at, it would be bigger and more clear. So how does God become bigger in your soul? How does he become more clear in your soul? Through what? Thanksgiving. This is another psalm somewhere else. It says, magnify the Lord with thanksgiving. You see how important it is? It's the meat of your life. This is God's will for you and I in Christ Jesus, that in all things we would give thanks. Rejoice in the Lord. We wouldn't say this, but we might subconsciously think it. So we say, rejoice in the Lord. But Brother Lehman, I don't have anything to rejoice in. It's true. Sometimes we're like that. Sometimes the state of our soul is such that there is nothing there to actually latch onto, get onto, and to actually rejoice in. That's right, because we didn't actually consciously make the effort to lead our soul to the state of blessing the Lord. It was our job. We're the keeper of it. God giving you the there's so much. We read our Bible every day, and then we walk away and say, okay, chicken. We punch the clock in the Bible reading. But do you really stop? Amen. And just remember all his benefits. You know, sometimes we say, thank you, God, for my salvation. We don't take any time to really think, what does that mean? What does it mean? Thank you, God, for my salvation. I say it all the time. It just comes off the tip of my tongue. Thank you, God, for my salvation. What's it mean? The gospel is not that I ask Jesus in my heart. So that's not that's good, and you should, but that's not what I'm saying. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Think about that. Don't just thank you, God, for my salvation, but think about it. And it'll bless your soul. It'll make a difference in everything, your attitude, your emotions, your feelings. We're leading it because God's given us that ability, that right, and a good dose of Holy Spirit discipline to make it happen. You know, remembering all of His benefits, as that Psalm 103 verse 2 says, it brings your soul to that state of blessing the Lord. You can't fake it. We can't fake it. We can't just say, walk around saying, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. When I was a new Christian, I hear people say, praise the Lord. And it's not just a phrase. He wants a heart. It's got to happen here, and then it can happen here. And it means something. So let me conclude here. So here's what I understood it like this, and I understood it. Hey, this is He saved me for this. He saved me for a relationship with Him. I was reconciled to God, and so when I realized this, there's some steps that I think we should all take, and this is some of the things that I did. Just three things, real quick. Number one, confess sin. If we can say that this is the summary of God's will for your life, and that is that in all things you would give thanks, but we don't give thanks in all things, then that would be the big sin in our lives. We should just say it. Lord, I've really failed in this area. You're not going to get anything fixed until we actually get it right in that way. Let's just tell God. Let's not excuse it. Let's not say, okay, well, I have a good reason. But let's just go ahead and say what it is. God, I failed in this area. But by the way, would you agree with that? I think you do, and the reason I think you would agree with that, the first and great command, what is it? Now if you sin against the first and great command, you've done a great sin. What's the first and great command? That you would love God with all your mind, somewhere, some soul, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Actually, it says the three there, I believe, in at least one of the references. Your soul, with all your soul. Have you loved God with all your soul? And if we haven't, then we just say, Lord, I've failed in this thing. So the first step, get anything fixed, we get it right like that. Okay, secondly, ask God for some Holy Spirit-led discipline in your soul. Where you're leading your soul. You know, one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is indeed, what is the last one? I think temperance. Am I right? Temperance? That's having some discipline. Ask Him for it. You see it. You see your need in your life. Just ask Him. God, may I please have some Spirit-led temperance in maintaining this and having some discipline in maintaining the state of my soul. And then lastly, I would challenge you, and this is my wife and we've gone through this, added this thing in this area of our lives together. I would challenge you, make a plan. Make an agreement with yourself that you're going to listen to the things you say all through the day. Whenever something happens, listen to how you react to it. You know, your words reflect what's going on in your heart. And so no matter what's going on in your life, something takes place, the things you say are going to reflect how things are going in your soul. I come back and I see my kids when we get back from the field. And I don't even have to ask my kids, how are you doing? I can tell from the things they say how they're doing. You just listen to somebody and tell how they're doing. But make an agreement with yourself. Get a plan. Number one, listen to yourself. Spouses, get an agreement. Listen to each other. My wife catches me sometimes. Something happens and my mouth starts going one direction because that's where my soul goes. She says, hey, bless the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I do the same thing for her. Get an agreement between a husband and wife. You'll help each other. Or get a friend. Check each other. You'd be surprised. Christians, even Christians, we believers, how we just let this slip by and we don't catch it. And then make a plan in all of that third one here, make a plan, make an agreement to meditate every day. And I mean meditate, I mean think. You know, the meditate thing, we sort of stay away from it because it seems like it's owned by the Eastern religions. I think that it was owned by, God gave it to us before any Eastern religion had it. We ought to be the masters of meditation. I mean, just meditation is simple. You meditate every day. Every day you meditate. It's a matter of what you're meditating in. Some people, when they have a difficulty in life, you know what they do? They go to bed doing what? Meditating in that problem. As if we're God. We're thinking about how we're going to fix it. As if we're God. Or some people, no, somebody says something that hurts your feelings, what do? You meditate or you think constantly about what that person did or said, and then it starts to destroy you from within, and bitterness goes down those roots because you were doing what? What were you doing? You were meditating in that thing. You have to be able to catch yourself now. That was step one, step two. But here's step three. Get a plan to meditate. So will you consciously take your thoughts and line them up with this Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that's within me, bless His holy name. And learn to meditate. You read your Bible every day? Don't raise your hand. But you read your Bible every day? That's reading. That's reading. We read. Okay, I did my three chapters. I read my Bible every year, and really, I wish I did more. Everybody should read their Bible. I just think it's. How can you know what God's will if you don't become familiar with it? Amen? You should read your Bible every day. But that's reading. You should pray. And oftentimes our prayer life is a prayer list. And in our prayer list we tell, God, don't forget to do this and bless this person and do this and do that. That's not really meditation either. But I mean meditate. I mean take some gospel truth. I'm talking gospel truth. Just take a good gospel verse and think about it. And just turn it over there in your mind until it blesses your soul. Do that. When will you do that? I don't know. It doesn't take long. I could do that in like 5-10 minutes. Middle of the day, I sort of skip lunch and I work out for a while, and then in between sets while I'm working out, I have a memory verse and I memorize another verse and I end up memorizing a chapter and I add to that through the course of a couple of months. And that's what meditation changes everything. When you go to bed, we read this in a theology book in our Bible Institute class in Thailand. There's a man that had this discipline. He'd never go to bed. How did he say that, honey? When it was getting near bedtime, he would not allow anyone to say anything or something like that during this last period of time before he goes to bed. He had this acronym. Yes. His word, last word. In other words, the last thing this man would want to hear every day was something from God. That's a good discipline. I practice that. My wife and I, we go to bed at night. She likes to talk about all the world's problems as my head's hitting the pillow. As if I could really help with anything. And so I took that to heart and I tell my wife, hey honey, today my meditation verse is, redeemeth thy life from destruction. Think about that. And so I sort of change the subject real quick, and I'm not neglecting. We talk about all the things she wants to talk about. Right, honey? Thank you. I'm just saying, have some discipline at night. Why not make your pillow, when your head hits the pillow, your meditation time? Instead of thinking about all the problems that are going to be facing you or you incurred that day, just think about how good God is. Just do that. And watch how it changes your life. Amen? Maybe you're doing that. I know that me as a missionary, I used to spend a lot of time trying to solve God's problems. And all it did was wear me out. Believe me, you weren't built to be God. I used to have this saying in my office that said, there's two things I've learned in life. One, there is a God. Two, I'm not Him. And so, I you weren't built. And if you try and do God's job, you're going to wear yourself out. I can tell you as a missionary, I can't stay in the mission field if I'm not applying this kind of message to my life. Amen? And I'll tell you what, you want to be a fruit-bearing Christian? You want to be a witness to people? Nobody wants to listen to an ornery Christian share their testimony. Amen? A grumpy Christian doesn't get too far. And so, it would help us in our ministry in general if we were just happy people. If we were grateful people, we'll be happy people. And God will change our lives. Amen? Amen. Okay, that's my secret, and I'll leave that with you. Let's pray and ask God to bless it. Father in heaven, thank you.